from Los Angeles. It's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we
special guest, singer, songwriter, producer, and creator of Woodstock, Artie Sky.
Look at the night sky where the stars have always shined.
And now, our host, the MC, the master change, Nico Pistazio.
Well, to say I've been excited looking forward to this show is an understatement, to be sure. It is our 600th show of the Life Changes Show, and though I could talk about so many things that have happened over those 600 episodes, I am, our show is all about the man of the hour. We're going to talk about our special, special guest. I can't think of a better guest for this show, and you'll see why as we get into it really soon here. Artie Kornfeld has done a lot in his life, and over the past 3.5 months, I think it's been, I have had the distinct pleasure of having Artie share with me over maybe 2 or 3 calls, conversations a week since we first connected, thanks to Brenda Brown Entertainments. And I think one of the most there were so many memorable calls. One of them was when he called, and this is the first words he said to me were, "Are you going to change my life?" And truly, he has changed my life already. And of course, he already had, because he has changed the lives of millions and millions of people around the world for decades and decades and decades, even long before Woodstock. And we're going to talk about that. I of course, expected to talk about Woodstock with Artie. What I didn't expect is that we would be talking about Bensonhurst and Joe Namath and Pelé and Anthony Newley. We'd be talking about baseball and football and basketball, track, tennis, golf, theater, musical theater, from the guy who pretty much put rock and roll on the map in a big way. He was talking to me about musical theater, not just talking to me about it. He wrote musical theater as well. He talked about George Segal and James Caan, the Bee Gees, Alain Delon, the Beatles, of course, Stevie Wonder, and the list goes on. And so much so that in every call, when Artie would call, Filippo would answer and rush to pen and paper to take as many notes as I possibly could. And the most frustrating thing is when my notebook would run out of paper and I'd write really small on one side and then on the back and then try and find anything I could write, because everything that Artie said was history. And I was riveted. And as almost a cruel joke, it seemed, after all of these calls, one day he says, "Do you know what we're going to talk about yet?" And I thought, geez, Artie, there's so much we could talk about. Every time I think I know, you hit me with something else. And so, sure enough, just before our show, he hit me with something else just this morning. I don't remember what I said, but he said, "I don't think this is the only universe. I think there are many universes." And I thought, and that's a whole other show. Not for today, but we'll see what we get to as we talk to the man himself, Artie Kornfeld, in just a little bit, and get to hear some of his music that sadly a lot of people haven't heard him singing, some of the hits that others have sung and that have become number one hit and whatnot. So with all of that being said, I'm excited. We're going to jump in just a moment here right after this with our guest, Artie Kornfeld, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or AskDorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
This is The Life Changes Show at Home Edition. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and I'm here with our producer and co-host, Mark Lejeure.
You know, Filippo, I share your excitement, not only for the congratulations of our 600th show and such a special show to have landed on tonight's episode, but also this one's extra close to home for me. I had the good fortune or the honor of advising for a presentation given to the UN Global Compact in 2012 on the efficacy of transformational music festivals. And wow, did this start that whole movement, and boy, did it change lives. So can't wait to hear from Marty.
You know, actually, Mark, what a great connection, and I'm sure we'll get to talk about that with Artie. And before I introduce him, actually, I just thought of one more memorable moment, because we've said it's about 51 years plus a month or so after the Woodstock Festival. It's about a little over a week after Artie's birthday, actually, and one of the most memorable calls was when on his birthday he called me and I sang to him happy birthday. And when I finished, Artie continued the song by singing to me, "You look like a horse and you live in a zoo." So that is Artie Kornfeld, and how I've gotten to experience him in such a special way. And a couple more things. Some very memorable quotes that I wrote down, I think, in our very first conversation. Quote, "I am thankful to God who gave me the ability to bring positivity to people. Another quote, "Sometimes a flower is more powerful than a gun." And then last quote for now, "Communicating is so important." We're calling this show 1 Hour of Peace and Music, thanks to the Woodstock Music and Art Festival of 69, which was called 3 hours, or 3 days of peace and music. Our guest is a creator of Woodstock Music Art Fair of 1969, a writer, a producer, a promoter, a manager, and so much more, Artie Kornfeld. Artie, welcome to the show. Yes, we have liftoff.
Okay, every time I've shared, if it's about Woodstock, I always say that it was all the people. Listen, my first record came out when I was in the 10th grade in 1958, and that was my first record. Okay, so I've been in it 6 or 7 decades, I guess. It's the people listening. You people have supported me because I was born as a giver, not a taker. By the way, do you know who discovered feedback on a guitar?
Actually, that's a great story. You shared it with me. Share it with the audience, since that's what we're experiencing right now.
It's just real quick, because I knew John and I knew Paul, because I was also the first vice president of rock at Capitol Records during the Apple Corps. John, they were in the studio, and they had finished, and John still has his acoustic guitar plugged in, and he walked by an amp, and this weird sound came out, and that was the first time feedback was really discovered.
And then did they use it right away or eventually or
somebody else used it for sure? No, but then he probably told Clapton and he told Jimmy, you know. Because when I heard Jimmy first, I passed on Jimi Hendrix. I was running Mercury Records when I was 22 or 21. And I was hot because I put out Wild Thing and I put out Walk Away Renee and King of the Road. And I forgot what I was going to say. What were we talking about? Jimi Hendrix, I was hot at the company, and Jimi Hendrix came to see me at Mercury in New York. And it was 4 years before Woodstock, and I passed on him. And, you know, and Buddy Miles and Jimmy and I were friends anyway. And I met Jimmy through Buddy Miles before Woodstock. And he just didn't have his style together yet when he came to see me. So I had to pass on him. We stayed friends, you know, and he got the deal, and, you know, and but I think Woodstock and the movies were really exploded him, although he already had a pretty big name. But anyway, what it's about is giving in the world. There's too many takers and not enough givers. You know, who's the best lover, the taker or the giver? The giver.
Yes.
Yeah, to me. So I was very lucky. I was born. I was in a house. My mother founded the Freedom Rides. When John Lewis died, they played a tape. We was talking about going on the Freedom Rides. And in my book, there's a letter from the Congress of Racial Equality praising my mother for founding the Freedom Rides, which led to... cut 20 years of integration in Southern universities for black students. So I had my mother and my father, a New York City policeman, and there I was living at home and already had a number one record with Dead Man's Curve. But it was very strange because I make a demo. Do you want to hear how it all happened? I was a symphony trumpet player. I was All-State North Carolina solo trumpet. And I got an acoustic guitar, and a friend taught me Michael Rode, The Boat Ashore. And I knew three chords, so I started to write, and nothing really happened. And then I was in college. I was president of the class of 64 at Adelphi University, and it was my sophomore year. And I wrote a song, and I went and did a demo about it. So now I left Adelphi. And I went to American and was hanging out with Mama Cass, or Cass Elliott then, because it was before the Mamas and Papas. And I came back and went to college at Queens College at night, in night school. So I'm sitting with the guys I used to lift weights with and play basketball with in between classes. And I'm telling them all about, I made this great demo and this and that. And I said, and I had read in the paper that Charles Koppelman and Don Rubin were named song pluggers for Screen Gems Music, which was the hottest publishing company in the world. So now I'm telling all these guys that, and the guy's name was Charles Koppelman, so I'm telling all these friends of mine, and my good friend Charles Koppelman just became, and we were beating Motown out for top 10 records every year at that point. And the bell rings, and everybody leaves except for the guy next to me, because he's waiting for his wife to come out of a class, and he taps me on the shoulder and he says, "Let me introduce myself. I'm your good friend, Charles Koppelman." And I was so embarrassed because I never met Charlie, you know. And he said, "You know what? Do you really have a demo? Is that part true?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Why don't you come in and see me?" So I took a train in from Long Island into New York. And I met with Charlie. And then I met with Donnie Kershner. And that day I signed a contract with Screen Gems Pop Music. And that was Goffin and King and Barry Mann and Neil Sedaka and Bobby Darin and Will You Love Me Tomorrow and You've Also Love and Feeling and those great writers. You know, if we were beating out Motown, who had their own artists, you know, we had a fight. Suppose, like I heard, My Boyfriend's Back was number one, right? And Jan Berry, I didn't know Jan and Dean, but I love the production, and I love Brian Wilson's work with the Beach Boys. And Jan comes to town, and Donnie Kersey rents a piano, and I go to Brooklyn, I'm hanging with Jan. And then I go to the Alan Freed show, which was Alan Freed's the guy who broke rock radio in New York. And there was Stevie Wonder in his first performance playing, Fingertips or whatever it was called, when he just played harmonica and sang a little bit. And so Jan and I go back to the hotel, and every writer in the world is trying to get the follow-up to My Boyfriend's Back, which has sold so many records. That if you got the follow-up, you know you're going to have a top 10 record. And Jan and I sat down, and the first song we wrote was the follow-up called I Adore Him that went to number 10 around the world by the Angels. And then I went to California, and Jan and I wrote another song, and that was Dead Man. I wrote it with Brian Wilson, and Jan came over, and that was Dead Man's Curve, and that went to number one. And then we wrote a song, I Watched the Rifleman. And we like Johnny Crawford, the kid, as a person. So I actually produced The Rifleman's Son, you know, on the TV show. And that went to number 30. So Jan and I was 3 for 3, and it was great working. I remember playing the show with the Beach Boys in a parking lot in L.A., you know. It was really funny. I was playing the piano, and I didn't play the piano. But it was in a parking lot, and the guy's name was Roscoe's Rocket Ship or Jocko's Rocket Ship, and the place had 2,000 people there. So that was the start. It was really exciting. And then I started writing with Tony Wine, who wrote Groovy Kind of Love and Candida, and started writing to Goffin and Kent with Carol King and Jerry Goffin, her husband. And it was just, you know, you were told that the Tokens are cutting an album, the Tokens need a song. And I always wound up landing on the album. So BMI told me that I had 350 songs that I wrote in 5 years, and 300 were recorded by major artists and were on albums or B-sides or hits. And I was shocked because I didn't know the figure. So that's how I started as a writer. And by doing all those demos, I learned how to produce records because, you know, you got a budget to do 3 sides. And you had 3 hours, and you really learned how. This was 2-track. There was no 4-track then. So you learned how to bounce back and forth. For example, we used to work. Okay, I did 2 Sherelle's records, and all they did is take off my co-writer who was singing the lead and put Shirley, who's the lead in the Sherelle's, singing the part. So the last 2 Sherelle's record, I wound up really producing. I didn't get credit, but I didn't care. I had 2 Sherelle's records, you know, and it's, you know, that was life, you know, and I got married and I had a child, and I went from being a poor kid with a father with 3 jobs into happening so quick. But I met Linda Kornfeld, who's the one you see in the Woodstock movie with Michael and I all the time, and she was magic, you know. You know, in fact, the night we thought of Woodstock, Linda had more to do with it than Michael Lang and myself. You know, I always give her credit because she's the one. I'll tell you about that night. It's a different story. So anyway, it's all about music. I love musicians. I became friends with all the studio guys. I knew the guys in L.A., Glenn Campbell, Leon Russell, Hal Blaine, you know, the Wrecking Crew. So I had great musicians in New York and L.A., and, you know, your demos just came out better because your demos were like records that other people were putting out because we got so good at it, you know, Barry Mann, Cynthia Wilde.
Artie, before you, I think where you're headed is the great story about the Pied Piper and how that ended up being, and I want to hear that. We have to break for a quick commercial. But when we come back, if we could pick up with Pied Piper.
I want to get out of screens up now.
So we'll be right back with more from Artie Kornfeld on this very special day with a very special guest. And this is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, as you can hear. We'll be right back right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome, L.A., on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, and we are online with Artie Kornfeld. We're learning that he's a lot more than just the creator of Woodstock Music and Art and Art Fair. He's a writer, he's a producer, he's a promoter, he's a manager, he's a singer, an all-around great guy. Artie, speaking of singer, one of your big things was to come out as a singer to your surprise. Or rather, wait, that's not to your surprise. You knew you were a singer, but how did Pied Piper get made? Because that was kind of a surprise.
So I was running Mercury at the Quincy Jones Loft, and I had an artist that signed, and you got to go into the studio at Mercury, and you got to cut 3 songs in 3 hours. So I did the 3 songs with the kid in like an hour and a half, and I had the great musicians, I had an hour and 15 minutes, and on the way in, I was driving over the 59th Street Bridge, I was thinking of Paul Simon, who I grew up with, sitting feeling groovy, and for some reason, the Pied Piper tale came into my head. So now I'm finished with the guy I was demoing, and the musicians were there, and I had an hour and 15 minutes. So we had started the song, and at the studio, we put out the chord sheet. I gave it to Hugh McCracken, my guitar player, who arranged The Thrill's Gone and produced Alicia Keys and was the lead in Wings and was banned on the run, and it was Hugh McCracken. Any musician knows Hugh McCracken. And we read the chord sheet, and we played them the song, and I was writing the lyrics as we're singing it to them, and we put it on a little cassette, and then we left, and we said, okay, guys, I said, you know your instruments better than I do. Let's try to get this in. We had an hour left. So we left for 15 minutes. Now we have 45 minutes left, and we come back, and we go over the song, and God almighty, they're just sort of right on the Pied Piper groove, and then Artie Kaplan, puts a piccolo in. I said, God, that's a hook itself. And we sang it, okay? Not only that, we overdubbed, we put on harmonies, and mixed it and mastered it all in an hour. for a song that wasn't even written an hour and a half before. So now 3 years go by, and now I've already gone to be the vice president of Roulette, and I put out Tommy James and Hanky Panky, and then I went to, my career was just taking off, and I had a wonderful family at home, and I was still Artie Kornfeld from Brooklyn. I lived in Manhattan, but I was still Artie. We were the Kornfelds. People loved to come over because we were nice people. So now Linda and I go out to a restaurant I forgot the other couple on Long Island, and I get a call in the restaurant from Charles Koppelman, who's now running EMI Screen Gems, and he says, He says, Arthur. He says, Arthur. When Charles became a zillionaire, he became Charles. So I don't call him Charlie anymore. But he says, Arthur. He said, you know, you have a hit. I said, what do you mean? I said, I usually have something on the charts. I said, I know I have two records on the charts, Reparati and Medellin's and the Hullabaloo from England, the Buddy Holly song. He said, no, you have a hit. I said, Charlie, what are you talking about? He said, Artie, I had a meeting with the president from Europe, the president of Philips, who owned Mercury too, and he said, do you have anything to play me? And I had no thing to play him, so I had the demo that you gave me 3 years ago. And I gave it to him, and the guy flipped out over it. And he said, the guy said, I love this Pied Piper. He said, what's the name of the...
We are talking with Artie Kornfeld. This is a what I've come to understand, a very special thing that Artie is doing with us tonight. When I first connected with Brenda, his management team, Brenda Brown Entertainment, she said she didn't think this would happen. He hadn't done one in a long time as far as full-length interview, et cetera, and he had some illness and all that. The great thing about it is not only did he agree to do this interview, every conversation I had with him, he didn't talk about his illness. I knew about it, but he didn't dwell on it. As a matter of fact, the point in this is that Artie didn't talk about his illness. All he talked about is peace and love and wanting to make a difference in the world. And my heart is full of gratitude. And it's 10 something in Florida right now. And he said, oh, that's just fine. We'll do whatever it takes.
You guys are a little low to me. So, anyway, put it out to the audience. Okay. Can you hear me?
Artie, we can hear you. And I've been saying some nice things about you. I hope that's okay.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I hear you better than before. So, Artie, we were just about to play the Pied Piper before you got disconnected. You were at the part where Charlie, I think his name is, presented a demo of the Pied Piper to somebody at Philips, right? Okay. All right. So with that, we'll jump into our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Joan, and I am living in Canada with my mom, and I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles, but I'm stuck here due to travel restrictions. I love my mother with all my heart, but we are fighting almost all of the time. We both say mean things to one another and then regret having said them. I've truly tried to practice patience and tolerance with her, and yet it is often difficult to do so. How can I heal our relationship?
Dear Joan, the first step for you to consider is how you can shift your reactionship into a relationship. From your question, it is obvious that you're not really relating and are reacting instead. Reactions are often defense mechanisms and can have long-term negative effects. Reactions are often blurted out with no thoughts of the often negative results of the spoken words. If one chooses to think carefully before responding to thoughts we disagree with, one can ease the pain for all concerned. You say you practice tolerance and patience for the most part, and yet you also say you are fighting all of the time, which indicates to me that there is not a lot of relating going on. Joan, since you say you're trying to change your mother is futile, perhaps consider loving her just as she is and knowing that there may be a reason why she is that way, and maybe another reason as to why she continues to be that way, which ultimately could be for the benefit for you. This could be a good time for you to ask for support from the universe. My form of asking is in the form of gratitude for the results I seek. For example, if I was seeking a solution to your situation, I would use this simple prayer of gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. As your divine child, I am the power in my world. I am the light and only good comes to me and from me. I'm grateful, dear God, for your divine intervention in my situation with my mother, and I'm grateful for you supporting me and loving my mother as she is, as we work toward becoming the best people we each can be, and co-creating the best relationship we can have. I choose peace, and I choose to easily allow her to have her opinions, and I choose from this moment forward to only have the conversations that serve both of us. And so it is. Joan, I've been using this kind of gratitude prayer for all situations that arise that would have caused me concern in the past. By expressing gratitude for the situations being resolved in the highest and best good for all concerned, I've reached a level of joy, peace, and contentment that I had thought impossible in today's world. Let's put this prayer of gratitude to work for you, and I trust that you will be pleasantly surprised with the results.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Wow. 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 Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. So Artie is telling us that he turned down a show on Sirius Radio the other day, and he's been turning down shows, but he agreed to do our show. And he also said that not to worry, that he understands. He did a show for a long time on radio. I don't remember how long he said, once a week, and that this kind of thing would happen all the time. It just hasn't happened all the time to us. So you know what? Life changes. And interestingly enough, Artie's show that he did for a long time on radio once a week was called The Changing Times. And if Artie gets to share the story, I didn't want to give it away as to how that came about. But what I'm feeling, if Artie would be so gracious, and if Doug and Don at BBS Radio would be so gracious as to allow this to happen, that potentially we can maybe get Artie during the day someday and record him, and then we could air that as well. Because, again, Artie has such great stories. And you know, he did say that he would do the show. And when I understood that he wasn't really doing shows, I said, thank you. And he says, you know what, Filippo, it'll please me. I know it'll please you. And hopefully I'll please the audience. And I wish actually that I would have been able to record each of the conversations and somehow edit it and share while we're holding for hopefully Artie to say one last goodbye. He's calling me on the cell. Isn't this amazing? Hello, Artie. I've got you on speaker. I don't know if people could hear you or not.
Are you still here, Filippo?
I am, Artie.
It's not me. It's you guys. It really is, because I've been in the studio my whole life, and it's okay. The Pied Piper story is funny, and then I can go right into John Lennon, or I can go right into what it's like. You know, I can go into the whole trip.
Well, you know what? I have you. I have you the phone up to the microphone, so let's just leave it here on my cell. If you would share that story real quick, and then maybe we can play the song finally. Go ahead, Artie.
Okay, so we do the demo of the Pied Piper, Charles Koppelman, without me knowing, meets with the president of Mercury and Phillips. The record comes out, I don't know it, I get a call in a restaurant. He says, drive into the city and get tomorrow's trades, which is the Monday papers. And I look. At number 37 with a bullet is the Pied Piper by the Changing Times, okay? I didn't know I was the Changing Times, and I didn't know the record was out. And then he says, but on top of that, it's been number one in L.A. for a month, and Sonny Bono loves it so much. The biggest tour is going to be the I Got You, Babe tour, Sonny and Cher's first tour, and he wants you to be on it and do six or seven songs. So I got to go to the other side and actually be one of the artists that I've been producing, and I got to play for 4,000 and 5,000 people a night for 27 cities. I'm glad I got to do that.
Well, actually, that's a great story. And so the song ended up going to the top of the charts, literally. And then
what happened was, Lou Adler, who did Cheech and Chong and the Mamas and Papas and the Rocky Horror Show and Fleetwood Mac, he had a friend in England that was producing a guy named Crispy in St. Peter, and he sent in the top 10 in L.A., and we were number one. And the next thing I know was this record shooting up the charts, The Pied Piper, Around the World by Crispy in St. Peter. So it was just like a runaway takeoff. I'd like to take credit. The only credit I could take is that I made up the lyric on the session for the demo.
And back then, actually, you didn't get a chance to sing something over and over and over again, especially since you were on a time limit. But also, once it got on tape, it was on tape. It wasn't just edited out like today, digitally.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that we were doing two tracks, which means you had to record the bass and drums really loud because you were going to overdub a lead vocal, a guitar solo, and you had to jump back and forth, and we called it salsa. Was in that space, we would add an instrument. So it was a certain way. And when fourth track came out, we all flipped out, everybody who produced. Because now you could have 40 instruments.
Well,
you know, it was different.
And Artie, how did your band get named what it got named?
Because the chairman of the board of Mercury Phillips was in from England. And when Charles said, "Who's the name of this band?" And when he played him a demo, because it was the only thing he had, he saw the magazine, and it was called The Changing Times, and he called it The Changing Times. Now, I didn't know this. It was already number one in L.A., and it was already on the charts when I found out. And that's when I found out I was going on tour. And my guitar player was Corey Wells from Three Dog Night. And Danny Hutton was on the show, and that's where they met. And that's how Three Dog Night started, you know, and it was great. Sonny and I wound up writing together, and we worked on a movie. And then Cher's first solo album, the first song on it is The Pied Piper. Very strange. And then it went to number one in Italy four times.
Well, you've had lots of number ones all over the place. Love the story also of Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know what? I swear to everybody, with whatever you believe in, whether God's just a hologram in the sky, I have no idea. But it's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing to be able to. I'm very quick with rhyme and lyrics, and if I don't write a song in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I stop. You know, and I always do it for the music. I never did music for the money. I did it for the music. And when you produce someone and they happen, I never looked at it what I was going to make. I was so happy that I helped their life be set. You know, so there I was. I was a recording star, and I was on stage, and the chicks loved us, and we did the Dick Clark Show, and we did the Hullabaloo, and we did it with Otis Redding on his first show he ever did with his first record. You know, so I mean, it was a lot of great stuff. You know, with Mercury, I got to tour with Chuck Berry. You know, great stuff.
You know, Artie, I would love for people to get to hear you more, and I know we didn't get enough of Artie Kornfeld today, especially with all the ins and outs that went into this production today. But what I'd like to end the show with is I want to say a quote from you, and then I would like to for you to continue it in your own words, because this is one that I just got. I have so many of them, but this is one that I just got out.
Just give me a sentence or whatever, and I'll write a verse.
This is what I feel. It really sums up so much of who you are, it sounds, from everything we've talked about. You said, every word I put out is for a reason, and that is to plant peace and love, and we can make it together.
And it has to be the season, because I'm thinking of you, and I hope that what I say really gets through, because I feel the same, and we are no different. We really love each other, and we want to save our world, and we want to help each other make it through this life, because we're tired of living with pressure and strife.
Wow.
Wow. Words for this moment, Artie. Thank you so much.
Save that. I may finish that.
We've recorded it, and we'll get it to you. In the meantime, Artie, I feel like this could be the beginning of something. I would be. It's bittersweet to know that it's the end of this show because I've enjoyed every phone call with you. I think I'm going to call you tomorrow if you've got the time. I thank you for what you've shared with me and our audience and the world. Thank you.
We've become good friends, and I'm really happy we're friends. And Mark, Doug, you guys did a great job. You did. You really did. You did the best you could. That's all you could do, the best you can.
Well, thank you. Well, we've only done it 600 times, but the 601st, we'll get it right. Doug and Artie, thank you so much. You have a blessed evening. You've blessed ours. God bless, as you like to end every call with me. God bless to you too, Artie.
Yeah, and God bless you guys. And thank you so much. And have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night too. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as life changes, like ours surely did tonight, in more ways than one, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.